Hello and welcome back to another week in the world of Angel Insights. This is a show that delves inside the world of early stage investing to reveal the tips, tactics and strategies of those investing in today's most promising startups, brought to you by Syndicate Room. Now for today's show, we thought we'd go back to something slightly different, and I've had many emails from people asking about how to get into the world of investing in startups, and we thought today we would take some of our favourite entrants into the industry and show you a collection of how they did it, how they made their way in. So starting off, here is how Tim Mills at British Business Bank made his way into investing in startups.
Yeah, sure. I guess it's one of those interesting things about venture capital. There seems to be no common route through which people get involved and join the community, as it were. But for me, my early background, my academic background, was studying engineering first, and then information systems. From that, I joined Merrill Lynch as a graduate, trained as an analyst, and then went to work in the capital markets area, essentially in the technology group, but focused a lot on bringing in technology into the bank to help with the trading activities. And did that for a number of years, and then went and did something fairly similar for Barclays Capital. And then ultimately, sort of mid-noughties, decided it was probably time to do something different, take a different direction with my career. Looked for where I might apply my twin interests in technology and my background in financial services and investments. And venture capital was a pretty obvious place to go. I spent a couple of years doing an MBA, focusing on venture, really sort of getting some academic underpinning as far as it goes in the space, and then moved into fund investing in 2008, and spent a few years investing in venture funds. So it was an early investor in Passion Capital and Notion Capital and various others. And then nearly 5 years ago now, we started working on putting together the Angel Co-Fund. I carried on doing a bit of funding investment for a while, running the two in parallel. I've been doing this pretty much full-time ever since.
And there's so much to unpack there. But I want to start off with the MBA, actually, and discuss it as a kind of beneficial thing to do for angels and for investors. You know, we're seeing a rise, obviously, in operational investors coming from your titans of tech companies. Do you think we're seeing kind of a transition away from the financial investor like everyone says we are, or do you still see the fundamental benefits of taking the more financial MBA route in?
When you look at what the skill set that you need to take an investment from first meeting through to successful exit, it's pretty broad. You do need that financial skill set. You do need that understanding, but you also need a whole lot more than that. So I think an MBA is a useful path for somebody who already has a good grasp of the operational side of things. It's a good way to bolster the skills. But equally, I think if you're somebody who's got a strong foundation in the financial skill set, then maybe the MBA isn't the most obvious reason, and maybe getting more hands-on experience is a good way to go. But I think you're absolutely right. And the trend has been, and when I look at the fund investments that I made, generally looking for people who were not just great stock pickers, but people that could really bring value to the companies they were investing in and really help them grow. And a lot of that is having the operational experience and the network of connections that come with having been an operator.
Next, we have John Spindler at Capital Enterprise and London Co-Investment Fund.
I got two hats, Capital Enterprise and London Co-Investment Fund. In terms of my own history, I had a tech business back in the old dot-com boom days, which did reasonably well. And then I left that and got back into doing tech, actually in a hardware company, which went less well, to be honest. And then basically got into tech when the tech explosion started to happen, the Cambrian moment in London, back again in around 2009-2010. And that's when I actually took over Capital Enterprise. And Capital Enterprise is a network of basically enterprises, universities, kind of co-working spaces and accelerators. And I would be fair to say that now probably over half our members are focusing specifically on supporting entrepreneurs basically from the tech sector. That's the reason why we also co-founded the London Co-Investment Fund, which invests basically in those entrepreneurs as well.
Now to how Dominic Wilson made his way into investing in startups with Pi Labs.
Sure. As with most things, it was sort of a bit of happenstance. I actually have a background in private equity real estate. So I've actually spent most of my career sort of investing in real estate, which is very closely similar to obviously what Pi Labs does, albeit Pi Labs on the tech side and invest in companies. But most recently, I was backing small entrepreneurial residential developers in the UK with sort of debt through a debt platform I was doing at a previous group. So I had some experience in researching, underwriting, and kind of vetting management teams and their business plans. And I knew the chairman here at Pi Labs for about 6 years. And this opportunity came up to come on board as a GP and sort of grow the platform and grow our presence both domestically and internationally. And I started looking into tech and saw that it was pretty absent from the real estate sector relative to other verticals. But that represents a good opportunity. And I like sort of small, you know, nimble entrepreneurial teams, and which is exactly what we have here. So, I sort of jumped at it.
Next, all good startups need a mentor. So how did Jonathan Fall get into startups and the mentoring industry with Rockstar Mentoring?
Well, firstly, the name. Many years ago, I was working at Goldman Sachs in wealth management, and the release of those ridiculous hours I was working was I was a singer in a rock and roll band. So I enjoyed it thoroughly. You come to my house, there's guitars and all sorts there, and music's my passion. But having not become the next John Bon Jovi, I thought when I launched the Aha Moment, which I'll tell you right now, I came up with the name, and it's worked really, really well. And the Aha Moment came about when I moved to the UK from Australia 11 years ago and wanted to get involved in property. I wanted to start investing in property. I've always believed that the fastest way to achieve success in business, whether it's as an employee or as a business owner, is to find someone who has already done what you want them to do and get them to show you how to do it. So I did it myself in property. I paid thousands of pounds to get access to a multimillionaire property investor who had built an £8 million portfolio in 2 years, and I paid him to take me out and show me how to do what he did. And he did that, and he gave me all of his team, his legals, his finance team, his builders. He taught me the art of negotiation. We're still friends today. And I bought my first property with him on day one, which tripled the investment that I'd spent on mentoring only 3 months later. So I then became a property mentor myself, and I absolutely loved it, taking people around the country, helping them build their portfolios as well. And then my aha moment was, why isn't anyone doing this for not just property, but all sectors? So I went out and I found the big name guy who had been there and done it in retail, property and construction, obviously, hospitality and leisure, creative industries, etc. And I got them and convinced them to be rockstar mentors, and then had the website, and people and SMEs would come to pay to get that, you know, very exclusive, unique access to help them actually hit and achieve financial goals. That's how it all started, and that was 9 years ago.
Just like mentoring, all startups also need great PR. And on the startup PR front, there really is no one better than Colette Ballou, president and founder at Ballou PR. So how did Colette get into the startup industry?
First and foremost, as you probably know, Ballou PR is a European communications and strategy agency, and we work with high-growth technology and technology-enabled companies. And what I mean by that is, for example, Facebook and Pinterest would be technology-enabled, according to us. And we also work with technology investors, venture capitalists, and LPs, and that actually, come to think of it, includes people that you've interviewed in the not-so-distant past, like Beezer Clarkson of Sapphire Ventures.
Love Beezer.
Oh, I love her to pieces. Fred Destin, who's now with XL Partners. Christian Hernandez, I think you've also interviewed with White Star.
Basically, there's very few VCs I haven't interviewed. Roll them all off and I will say yes.
This is true. We have offices in London, Paris, and Berlin, and we've done, the team's done pretty... just things that I am completely over the moon about. We've helped a French company called MusiWave exit for $100 million. This was back in 2004, 2005. And at that time, it was one of the biggest European exits for a company. And we've done things like helped Facebook and Pinterest enter into France, and TransferWise and Flipboard helped them enter into Germany, and Twilio, which of course has recently been in the news, and Eventbrite enter into the UK. So we've had the joy of working with great companies. We don't so much work with startups as we work with companies that are high growth. And folks that we've worked with or continue to work with include people like, you know, Accel, Lakestar, AOL, Box, Stack Overflow, Waze, WhatsApp, Yelp, Zendesk. So a lot of folks that you and your listeners will recognize. A little known fact, I'm a veteran of the ecosystems of New York, San Francisco, France, UK, and Germany in that order. So I've seen a lot of companies. I've seen a lot of ecosystems at different points in their development. So being in Berlin starting in 2012 has been amazing to watch that just cycle up so incredibly fast. I was in New York when things were pretty dead, quite frankly, and trying to watch it get started. And in fact, it didn't take off until after I left. And that's an interesting coincidence right there, isn't it?
Now, what about globally renowned angel investor David Rose? He's done TED Talks, he's written books, but how did he get into the industry, into the early stage investing industry in the first place?
Well, interestingly, I consider myself first and foremost an entrepreneur. So I am a serial entrepreneur, started half a dozen companies. I'm actually a third generation entrepreneur. My grandfather and great uncle founded a number of companies early in the 20th century, eventually founding one in real estate that went on to be quite a large operation. My father is an entrepreneurial type, also in real estate. Back during the dot-com boom in the 1990s, I was a runner-up for the finalist for the Entrepreneur of the Year Award in the United States. My father won it in 2003.
Wow.
my father is now 87 years old and is currently doing everything from developing shopping centers in Ghana to being active here in the U.S. As a matter of fact, just last week he flew over to across the pond to Oxford, where he gave a speech about the charitable nature of the British population, and he was talking about a book. He published a book last year called Making a Living, Making a Life, a collection of some of his speeches. So he's in his late 80s. He is an active entrepreneurial
type. That is insane.
So well, what's even more bizarre than the fact that I'm a third generation entrepreneur with the previous generation still out there functioning, I think the world's only third generation business angel investor, because my late great uncle, after whom I was named, the original David Rose, who was born in the 19th century, was in his later life the business angel behind things like the portable kidney dialysis unit, vascular stapling, hyperbaric operating chambers and hospitals, desalination projects in the Middle East, concrete boats, through the wall air conditioning. I actually dedicated my first book to him and my second book to my parents. But I grew up with hearing stories from my uncle Dave, the original David Rose, about all of these early stage investments he was doing. Back then, the term business angel hadn't even been coined yet, so he considered himself an innovation catalyst, and so he would travel the world and see interesting new technologies in labs and hospitals, and then bring it back to the U.S. and provide seed funding to a primary investigator and help fund the whole thing. So he was actually on the founding board of trustees of Technion Institute of Technology in Israel. Just an extraordinary guy.
Now for the final entrant into the industry, and we thought there'd be no better way to finish this episode than by hearing the founding story behind Syndicate Room itself from co-founder and CTO Tom Britton.
Funny story there. I was doing my MBA back in 2012, and I come from a product development background, so I did the mobile apps for the train line and a few other things. And I met Gonzalo, who's the my co-founder at Syndicate Room, while I was doing the program. And I actually thought that I might be able to get paid to help him out to do a bit of work throughout the course and kind of fund my lavish student lifestyle. not so lavish, but... But what turned out was, he said, "You know what? I'm a startup. I can't pay you, but you know, maybe if this works out, I can offer you a job at the end of the program. And we started working, I think, together in kind of October, November. And by March time, I was actually helping him fundraise. So I had gone from thinking that I would get some money out of him to actually, you know what, I want to be a part of this entrepreneurial journey. And we kicked off Syndicate Room. We did a soft launch in March of 2013. And then we raised the money that we needed to raise. And we did our larger kind of call it public launch in September 2013. And we've been kind of growing the business since then from two of us to now almost 30 of us. So it's been fun.
So talk to me about the transitory moment there when you decided that this was something that you wanted to do. When was that moment for you? Was there a milestone or an inflection point?
I think there were two things. I'd gone on to interview with a bunch of different management consultants and other businesses who came to the program to try and recruit people. And I just thought, like, nah, that's not for me. I had a taste of the startup life, if you will, when I was at the train line. I joined them relatively early on, but also in working on their mobile apps, it was as if we were a startup within the Trainline team, building the prototypes and then launching them. And you know, we got a couple million downloads of the app. So I had a taste for it. I didn't necessarily enter the MBA knowing that I was definitely going to be an entrepreneur. I thought maybe I'll do management consulting or something where I can get a bit more experience. But after having met him and learning about the vision of Syndicate Room and the fact that I was going to get to work with a number of other startups, I just thought, you know what, this is the right time. I've already got student debt. If I go broke, I can just wipe it all off. and not just that, of course, but you know, he was the ideal co-founder for me. I had the technical background. He had kind of the engineering and the operation side of things, and we worked really well. And I just thought, I'm not going to have a better chance to make the switch from, you know, corporate life to startup life. So it was probably by February. And then in March when we did the soft launch, it was one of the highs, you know, getting the product actually out there. So I really bought into it then.
So there you have it. That is how you make your way into the world of early stage investing. And we so hope you enjoyed the episode today. We'd absolutely love to hear your thoughts. So do hit us up on Twitter at Syndicate Room. Really would be great to have the feedback. And as always, you can head over to the website at www.syndicateroom.com, where you can find a whole host of resources and articles on early stage investing. As always, we so appreciate the support and look very forward to bringing you next week's episode.